Hi, I'm Joanne Jacobs. I also have a funny accent, but I wasn't invited to be chair, and I assume that's partly because of Neighbours, for which I humbly apologise. One of the things, I agree totally with the idea of not measuring about, you know, what's what you do with it that matters. Nevertheless, CEOs are very keen to look at what, you know, what they can measure. Now, whether that is anything to do with the fact that most of them are white men, I'm not sure. That aside, I would like to come to some agreement about how we might be able to measure intangible benefits. CEOs love net present value and return on investment as a means of actually measuring what is good about it. One of the best things about social networking is its intangible benefits. Could we come up with a series of criteria that we could use as a basis for measuring net present value in intangible benefits of social networking?
Who wants to tackle that one?
Do you want me to?
Sure.
Okay. I do not want to answer this question, but I'm just going to, from the point of view of, I mean, at Net Ratings, we've been, and Jim will be aware of this, I mean, we've been involved in this idea of a single currency, about standards in measurement and so on. We've worked with JICIMS on this, and there's been an announcement about that recently. We've working with the IAB about an audit on our measurement process in the US, and there hasn't been up until this point a consensus about measuring something which ultimately is very simple: how many people go to my website, for example, and that's sort of probably the most simple thing that you can measure. There's no agreement on that. I hold my hand up and say, you know, from a measurement company, you know, our figures are different to Comscore, to ABC, to, you know, site-centric. I mean, I don't think there's a problem when you explain why the differences exist. But, I mean, I had down in my notes that I think it's very difficult when there's been no agreement on something incredibly tangible, like how many people visit my site, to how on earth do we measure something intangible, like the increase in brand empathy amongst your target group. Loyalty, yeah, that is actually a bit easier to measure, but in terms of the intangibles, it's just very, very difficult. I mean, you can do that on influence and so on. I mean, we do that, most of the other providers do. For example, when you're measuring influence, there's a whole range of criteria, and there are very tangible things like, you know, how often that blogger posts, how many people read that post, and then there are sort of more intangible things, as in, you know, their level of knowledge, their level of influence in terms of how often, you know, how in what sort of regard the people who read their blog regard them as authoritative. I think you can do that on a case-by-case basis, but when it comes to trying to get some form of industry standard, I mean, I personally will be amazed if we see that soon, just bearing in mind that we haven't seen it in a sort of standard. But
I have to stand up and say the Web Analytics Association is taking stabs at those things and is reaching out to the IAB and. So there, it's coming. Consensus is slow because we're humans and we're slow and our computers are dumb. But I'll throw in an answer, which is for years we've been measuring broadcast advertising based on awareness, reach, and brand attitude, brand love. Lots of money's being spent on that. Throw a little bit at the internet. It's okay.
Anybody else want to?
Yeah, I'll pick that up. I mean, it's, you know, there are some great studies at the top end that prove the theory, I think. There are some real measurements you can make both about, you know, the background noise, if you like, the conversation that's out there already about your brand, and then also any campaigns that you do. But in the middle, there's a big gap. And I think, you know, as Alex said, it's going to be a while until we get anywhere with that gap in the middle, which, for example, might prove the ROI of an individual campaign. I don't know, quite a while. I mean, you can measure all sorts of things. You know, Forrester did an interesting report last year about proposing engagement as a new standard for measuring campaigns. But again, if you read the report, it's all very fluffy. It's hard.
I would like to see, I don't know how many of you know, quick show of hands, the Creative Commons licenses for licensing intellectual property. I think it'd be wickedly cool if we could get some set of open source standards that somehow everyone could kind of work towards, everyone could own, everyone could license their stats under that agreement. Just some sort of shared. I think it would seem really weird and out of sync with social media if it was a proprietary system. I think there needs to be, with the scope and reach of the internet, the scope and reach of the agreement that covers it, should be the same. So I think we need that. And then the other thing I think we need is just what they've got in the broadcast world, and that will happen, which is, you know, a small ecosystem of third party auditors. So we're all used to ABC with kind of traditional media. So just something along those lines, something simple.
I think there's a couple of points from our point of view. We'd in fact made a tool called Listen, which hooks in and connects multiple channels in terms of marketing, everything from calls into a call center right the way through website hits, through to your general ledger, through to your financial systems. Mm-hmm. So the worry is that sometimes, because of an inadequacy in measuring tangibles, we turn to intangibles. And I don't think that's necessarily the right way to go, just because we can provide you with this fluffy measurement, and we can do it now. We can tell you who's the most influential individual who's added this application and what kind of viral node they were. But that is fundamentally an inadequacy. What we really want to tell you is, how has this increased your sales? How has this fed back in? And in fact, we're in a position to do so. This is a matter of your innovations, your technology division speaking to your marketing division, and the two not being separate. And there's a cultural issue there as well. So I think the possibility of connecting those two systems has existed for a long, long time, and it's actually now about convincing CEOs to go that way.
Can I just respond to that? I actually disagree. I mean, I think, you know, in the instance of Facebook or perhaps any other social network you can embed widgets on, you've obviously got some very tangible measurement that you can make there. However, the point that I'd make, especially in the wild in social media, where you've done a campaign to provoke positive word of mouth, you can estimate how much what reach that word of mouth has, but you're not in control of those properties where those conversations are having. So you've got no way of actually measuring that definitively yourself, because you can't put tracking tags on someone's forum or someone's blog or on someone else, you know, on someone's Facebook page. And you also, you know, as I said before, you tend to be trying to influence people in the awareness and consideration phases of purchase. So even if you could track how many people actually engage with that campaign in conversations that happen on properties that you don't own, you know, they're not going to immediately go and buy whatever it is you're marketing. You know, they're going to go away and think about it, chat to their friends down the pub, and then perhaps make some purchase decision 2 days, 2 months, 6 months later.
So here's the issue, and it's not that I necessarily disagree with that. Again, just giving the example of this tool called Listen, many times you get affiliate measurements which would say, well, okay, somebody's now called in through a call center, somebody's hit the website. You're counting all these as different consumers. The ability actually to separate these individuals and say, well, somebody came through Facebook, now they're called through a call center, and now they walk through my door. Those tools to measure those people as individuals, as the same individual, is available. And then to connect that through to your sales system is also available. So these aren't new techniques. They're just about applying them into a new sphere. And I think Facebook is only just another sphere, another channel to apply this to, or another social network.
And I would take it a step further and say that we can take those conversations that are happening out there and measure them to say, are they growing or shrinking in the quantity and the frequency and the velocity, and are they growing or shrinking in terms of the attitudinal content? Are they positive or negative? And measure the result that has on what we're thinking of now as the background noise activity on our website. If a conversation happens over here, it has an impact on the behavior on our website, which we have the technology to be able to, Will's nightmare, to turn this into a marketing robot that can respond socially. It is possible. And if anybody knows somebody out there that's doing that, let me know. I will write another book and put on another conference. Let's do another question out there. Show of hands and a roving microphone.
Over here.
Oh, way in the corner.
Hello, another funny accent. Room is full of us. Leo Ryan from Ryan McMillan. Just possibly an answer to your question about structuring metrics. We're doing campaigns for clients at the moment, and they want to understand. We're doing social media campaigns for clients like Discovery and Sony, and they want to understand, how do I compare a podcast to a bit of blogging activity, to a bit of commenting activity? What's the comparability between these things? And because each of those have their own metrics, and because the objectives that started them are always different, we've tried to construct a kind of a framework. We're calling it a framework for ambiguity. And I put this out under these sort of creative pub license rules. This will be up on our blog tomorrow, so I'd love to get some feedback from people on this. But the acronym we're working with is QDOS. And we're looking at, it's very cute, we're looking at, does the brand get kudos out of it and does the audience get kudos out of it? So you run down the thing, K, knowledge. Is the brand displaying unique knowledge for its for what it is? Is the audience getting knowledge out of it? U, is it useful? Is this activity useful to the brand? Is it useful to the punter? D, desirable. Does the brand want it to happen? For example, a cigarette company may leak information about lung cancer. Very knowledgeable, very useful for the punter, not very desirable for the brand. So desirable for the brand, desirable for the audience. Are they actually consuming it? O, is it open? Are we being honest about what we're saying as a brand? O, are we being is it open from the audience's point of view? Do they understand what our intent is? And S, shareable. Are we sharing something and can the audience share it? So I just give that to you as a starting point. There are no fixed metrics on that. What you do is then say, okay, if it's a podcast, what within a podcast might tell me that K, U, D, O and S have been met? And you can then compare that to a blog and so on and so forth. It's very loose, but that's kind of the idea. So try that.
That great idea. Thank you. I'm sorry, what was the O for again?
The K-U-D-O-S-N-O-L.
The O was?
Open.
Open. Thank you. Any comments about that? I like it.
I think it works for me because I'm a marketing person. I don't think it works for the CEO, which was the which is the issue raised here.
Yeah, I mean, this is the challenge of being transparent and open and participating in the discussion.
Yeah, going back to the question and what Leo was saying there, I think... I think most people in the room would agree that if there'd been standards in internet measurement, online advertising would have grown even faster than it has done. And I think the same will be true for social media. If we had standards, then the CEOs of this world would be more willing for their marketing team to allocate budget. But I don't sort of see that happening, unfortunately. I think also the danger of when you... this is a good way of getting around saying it's difficult to do is... The danger of doing it is obviously if you're looking for a specific deliverable, you perhaps miss what else might happen. I mean, we did, Toyota in the US are a big client of ours. And they're, I think in the US, they're one of the most cutting edge companies when it comes to tackling social media. I think they're one of their senior guys was the first guy to have social media in some form in his job title. And this is, you know, Japanese company, very traditional and so on. But they, I mean, one of the things that they did with us was measuring influence. So we were looking at bloggers. So they wanted to know the most active and most, you know, influential bloggers around Toyota. And what we did, so we got that for them. And they invited these people to a special preview launch of a new model. I think it was called an XP or something. I don't know anything about cars, but... the idea was sort of to give something back to those people. And what happened was they sort of got threefold benefits off this that they hadn't really realised. I mean, one obviously was the excitement that it generated. I mean, obviously they were hoping that might happen both for the select few who were invited, but also for the people who read those blogs. Secondly, obviously, it helped to generate the sort of more of a brand empathy between Toyota and its customers, its consumers and so on, something which is obviously very difficult to put an ROI on. And thirdly, completely unexpected, they actually, from that afternoon, there were actually some suggestions that were incorporated into the final car itself, which is sort of almost unheard of at that stage. They did it about 6 months before it launched. And it gave them the time to actually, but I think it was something to do with cruise control. I can't remember exactly, but it actually made it into the final product. And they sort of did this not really knowing perhaps what they were going to get out of it. And they got all these different benefits out of it. And I think that's the sort of the good side of social media is there is no formula. You don't really, yes, I mean, I'm talking from a company who, you know, talks about measuring it, you know, to a very great detail. There is no particular formula. Everything that we do is unique for a particular client. So if you start pigeonholing, yes, we want this and this, you maybe potentially lose the sort of the unseen benefits that, you know, that springboard from that, which is the whole nature of social media. Sorry, that was a bit long.
Yeah, I'll just pick up on that. I mean, I think we've all, you know, independently developed some quite useful models for comparing campaign to campaign in terms of, we use a sort of a reverse long tail model of levels of engagement where you've got, you know, fairly low engagement metrics, which are reasonably comparable to other things that marketers are used to doing. So, for example, that might be someone reading a blog post or a forum thread, Which we feel actually is probably someone who's more engaged than actually, definitely than seeing a banner ad, because as we know, most people don't even look at them, or being exposed to a banner ad, but possibly even than actually visiting a brand website. Because again, if we go back to some of those trends at the beginning, you know, people are more influenced by genuine consumer opinion than messages coming from brands, all the way through to someone sharing that content or interacting with it in some way. So that might be tagging it, that might be voting, that might be digging it, that might be, you know, various other things, all the way through to contributing to the conversation themselves by leaving a comment, and all the way through to the sort of highest level engagement when they've actually initiated a post or a forum thread about that particular product or service. And you can obviously measure the success of different campaigns against each other using that technique.
So we've got a good acronym. Thank you. And next question, over on this side of the room, do we have the one microphone or do we have two? Oh, there's one in the back. Okay. I'm going to let you choose whom to hand it to. The microphone is wending its way. Oh, there...
Hi, I'm Wendy McAuliffe from a company called Liberate Media. We're a PR agency who are working within social media quite a lot at the moment. And I think one thing that struck me this evening, a question I'd like to throw back to the panel is, are we actually forgetting people when we're talking about measurement? We're talking about statistics, metrics, criteria, complicating things as much as we can, but at the end of the day, what we really need to be thinking about is how people are responding to efforts within social media. And a book that I'm sure many of you have read here is The Tipping Point, a very influential book within marketing. And focus groups were used quite heavily throughout that book to look at how people responded to particular things, a TV advert, a program, whatever. And I think within social media, we actually need to be asking people what they are thinking about things. And it's something that we have trialled with some projects that we've carried out, is actually asking for user response, what attitudes were towards a particular project. And I think that's something that's quite really been missed off tonight, and whether, you know, I'd like to ask the panel what they feel about that.
If I just start that, I don't agree necessarily that it's been missed off. I think for us, as I said, I think right at the outset was that this is a people-driven part of the media. It is about not users, it's now about humans. It's about actually discovering people for who they are. And I think what's most interesting in all of this is you don't need to ask people for their responses anymore, because the data's already out there. People are already telling you what they believe. Interestingly, all the work we're doing in a lot of the social networks, sentiment, attitude, demographic, influence, relationships, all that is available from a lot of the data. And this doesn't necessarily cover the whole population, but a large part of the target demographic for a lot of the brands, all the information that they could possibly desire if they need it is out there. And that includes everything from, you know, emotion right the way through to purchasing power. It's now a matter of harnessing that. And that's part of measuring social media. So it's not just about measuring page views and response times and things like that. It's about actually saying, well, these are the people. These are the actual human beings who are responding to my brand, and they're engaging directly with me. I think one of the most interesting things that Alex said is that from measuring social media, you will find trends and aspects from your campaign that you couldn't possibly have imagined. And that will only happen when you do the measurement, because there are micro trends existing underneath the surface that are going on that you wouldn't otherwise know, and that you would never find out from user response, because that which a user is willing to tell you in a response-based environment is entirely different to that which he's willing to share in other environments. So I don't necessarily agree that we're missing people out. In fact, for me, I think it's the most fundamental proposition here.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. A lot of our clients in the US have just got rid of their focus groups because it's all out there. Immediately when you prompt someone, you're making them think in a certain way towards a certain answer or focusing their mind. It's the blogosphere, for want of a better word. I mean, it's unprompted, it's unabridged conversation. It's all out there for you. I made this point at another social media event in January. As marketers, I think Will made a comment about something to do with marketers and intelligence and so on. I mean, it makes your job so much easier. I mean, a lot of people had spoken, and I think there were people who were, there were there people, a lot of the panelists were talking about, you've got to find a sexy hook and so on. And there's people there who sell who sell bandages. I mean, where's the sexy hook? Well, it's out there, and people will do that for you as marketers. It, you know, it makes your job a lot easier. And I think when I think it's really important that, you know, terms like metrics are being thrown around quite a bit this evening, but ultimately it's about conversations. We're trying to put some form of level of understanding for you guys around conversations. I mean, you know, as we said, there's millions of them out there, and we might be talking about statistics and so on, but ultimately it's about conversations, what people are saying. So I think it's really important to, you know, not get caught up in this idea of, you know, it's statistics and so on. Yeah, there might be, but it's around what people are saying. That is that consumers' attitudes, perceptions, and how they relate to your brand is all there, and it's just a way. There are some metrics there to make it easy for you to understand or visualise what they're actually saying.
Very quickly, when it comes to marketing bandages, the sexy hook is called a safety pin. Wendy, I absolutely believe in people, and all of the projects that we work on as an agency start with who are the people that this is aimed at and how can we be useful to them. And that's just a really simple principle when it comes to any of this stuff. I think I agree with your point about the kind of clumsiness of the language when we're talking about real people and then we're trying to convert them into terms like, you know, I don't know, I'm uncomfortable with the language, to be honest with you. It's like stimulating positive conversations and it all sounds very artificial and filthy. But I think that when the CEO, I'm going to point at you again, even though you're not that white man that we were talking about, when they ask for something to help them make sense of it, like sort of starting to rattle on about people just makes you sound like someone who's been smoking crack and meths in the basement that morning. I mean, he's going to look at you like an alien. I mean, if you look at the statistics of the makeup of CEOs, you know that overwhelmingly they come from an accounting background. That is what they think of. If you read Harvard Business Review, it's all it's changing. It's changing a lot, and that's really cool. But it, traditionally, you know, they want numbers to measure people. They want sentiment. They want numbers. And I think that's the tension that exists here today, if you like, with between us. And the final thing I would say, just one attempt to harness the power of social media. How many people here would like a universal standard for measuring this stuff that was open source and free to use as a standard, a measurement that you would be able to measure against? Because you're a representative of one of the biggest companies in this space, and you're saying it would be very difficult to do, and basically we're not going to do it. I think we need to demand of these people. We're an agency, so we represent our clients. Some of you here will be from client side. I think we need to say, well, it's not good enough to say we can't do it and it's impossible. And we've heard all that before. Mm. That's what IT managers said when we wanted internet access. You know, you want an email account? Okay, have a couple of. No, I'm asking for a set of open standards. A set. I think the key for me is that the measurement that you need to look at will vary from project to project, industry category to category, company to company. What I was doing earlier, Giles, to be clear, was talking about the downsides of Net Promoter Score, which has been triumphed as a single number and then demerited by the academic community.
As another supplier in this industry, it's very early days, and it's hugely complex. So what you're asking for is to take natural language, stuff that we all speak from to each other, and come up with some standard metrics for measuring this stuff. It's really, really tough. So I don't think it's because Nielsen or anybody else is not willing to do it. I think that it's just early days. The fact that all of this stuff has come online is pretty new. It's 5 years at best. This is all natural language processing, machine learning. I do understand this stuff, and it is pretty new. So give it a bit of time. I don't think it's a lack of willing. I think it's a lack of experience.
I'd back Will on this, really, because I don't think it is. I think we've delved fairly deeply with natural language processing, analysing email conversations and the like, and this isn't new stuff. The theories around this have been around for a long, long time. In fact, social media as a concept, as an industry... Yeah,
but a theory and a practical application are two completely different things.
Well, OK, to give you an example, we've used a practical application that's been in development for many, many years from the academic communities onwards, and now is just finding simple technologies to utilise it for. I think aside from that...
And you're talking about getting a group of people to come together in a public forum and come up with standards. Of course, it will happen, but just give it time. I mean, I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong.
I would like to know how long it might take for everybody in this room to come to consensus on what color is my jacket. It is a difficult problem. Getting humans to agree on language is a really neat trick. In the meantime, yeah, let's measure what we can. Let's use the numbers that we can. Let's try an open standards project. Let's throw it up there and see what happens. That would be fascinating.
Well, I think the key, like you're saying, what color is your jacket? And you'd get as many responses as there are people here today. But harnessing the power of social media, if you look at something like Dell's IdeaStorm website, how many products or services could you possibly request from Dell? Well, the number is as infinite as the color hue of your jacket. Yet they have created a website that allows people to aggregate around good ideas and then vote for them. It doesn't need to be a cacophony of a committee. I'm sure we could agree with some commitment from you and some commitment from you guys. We could start working towards something. I agree it's early days, but why don't we start now? I think it's the best sales tool you've got.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just, it's not because of a lack of willing, it's because it's difficult and because this is new. That's from my point of view anyway.
And we are willing. Okay, question over here.
Hi there. My name's Angie. I'm from Haygarth, planner. I like the way we kind of moved away from like the kind of necessity need to measure everything in this conversation earlier. We seem to have gone back to it a little bit. I'm a planner. I like data. I'm also a planner, so I like consumers. I'm a digital planner. I love social media. And for me, I just think that really at the end of the day, measuring stuff is all a good when you haven't designed products that are built for consumers in the first place. Thinking Nike ID, and also LEGOFactory.com. If you build these products for consumers in the first place, do you really need to measure all these conversations?
Yes. Thank you for your question. It boils down to the CEO in the room standing there saying, I need an answer. And somebody stands up and says, you know, yesterday my brother-in-law told me about an experience that he had and how it relates to this product. And the CEO says, so your brother-in-law, what is that about? And somebody else stands up and says, 68% of people surveyed in a formal scientific poll say exactly the same thing his brother-in-law said. Oh, in that case, it must be true. So, yeah, we need numbers just because it makes us feel better. The human brain makes decisions emotionally and then reaches out for all kinds of rationale in order to back up why I bought a new iPhone.
Yeah. Right. I mean, in answer to your question, I don't want to be vague and sort of try and cover all the bases, but social media is such a fractured ecosystem that it is impossible to have a blanket answer for something like that. I mean, there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of brands tackling social or will be tackling social media. And, you know, I mean, I can only speak from the experience of our clients, and there's not really been, for all the work that we've done, I'm sure it's the same for the other guys measuring the space, whereas for the net rating side of things, a lot of the research will be similar, but for, you know, for social media, they've all been different. And, you know, in some cases, yeah, you probably don't need to measure conversations, you know, around specific sort of social media strategies or so on, but there will always be brands or sections that will always need to know that. So I think I think the key thing is to sort of go with an idea of potentially what it is you need to achieve, what are your own success, you know, factors, your own ROI parameters, and try and understand exactly, you know, try and understand what it is you can potentially get out of it, but sort of being open to the other sort of potential benefits that will come from that. Sorry, that's really airy-fairy, but...
Can I just attempt to put that in context? And I think let's use the Nike Plus example. So your RGA, you've spent, you know, probably half a million pounds building a website. Oh, Nike ID Nike ID, where you can customize the shoes. You know, you spent half a million pounds building that website. No consumers in your target market know about that site. And you're sitting there going, well, how do I let people know about this? Do I spend another half a million on an online advertising campaign or a TV advertising campaign? Or do I spend, you know, a proportion of that money on an online word of mouth campaign, which might drive traffic? So you do need to be able to compare these things to work out how efficiently to spend your money. I'd obviously argue you'd be a lot worse spending that 500,000 with us on an online word of mouth campaign. But, you know, you need to be able to prove that.
Okay, next question.